Good evening. This is Mimi Pickering here on Mountain Talk here on WMMT 88.7. And we are so pleased this evening to have Ralph B. Davis from Floyd County, from Prestonsburg, with us tonight. Hey, Ralph.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. He's driven all the way over here in probably several rainstorms.
Mm-hmm. It got pretty hairy through Knott County.
I bet. It can be hairy in Knott County no matter what, really. We love Knott County. And as you were saying, there's really no easy way between Whitesburg and Prestonsburg.
No.
Even though we're
no
both direct bergs. Route. Yeah. But that's what we love about the mountains, winding roads in part. So Ralph is the editor of the paper there in Floyd County, and also kind of helping things with the Hazard Herald in Perry County. And then I understand you also are managing the Floyd County Farmers Market,
true,
one of our favorite subjects here at WMMT. So, but we'll talk in particular some about this movie that you've made.
Okay.
And it is called Appalachia 2050. Mm-hmm. So I think it's thinking about the future. And how did you, or what did you see, if you did see it as a newspaper editor, you know, that was going on in the region that got you into this kind of covering this idea?
Well, like you said, I've been in the newspaper for many years now, 22, 21, something like that. And it just seemed like
we've done a lot of the same things
I just thought, why not ask the people, I guess, what they want to see in this region, what they think has been of what has been done in the past, I guess, and what's working, what's not working, and that sort of thing.
You know, you say that sort of matter-of-factly, which it is, but it's been a little difficult, as both I imagine you've seen as a journalist and as just as a citizen of this region, to kind of confront these realities or to even know what reality is sometimes. So I imagine this was a little bit stepping out there for you, or
a little bit. Working with videos, stepping out there too.
That's yeah.
But I guess it was, but the one thing that's been very encouraging to me is that people who have watched the movie, they seem to get inspired to give their own opinion. That I have a line that I say quite often, you know, I've lived in Appalachia my entire life. No one from the ARC ever asked me my opinion of what has been going on, what needs to happen. And I think a lot of people feel that way. We rely on the same people to try to do the same things, and we get the same result.
Right.
If anything, I want, it doesn't really matter what people, I guess, think so much of the movie, as long as they feel compelled afterwards to give their own opinion or to think about what their opinion is, because sometimes they haven't even thought about what they'd like to see.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing, an interesting time that we are in, that people have kind of forgotten that having that dialogue or that conversation or having different points of view is a good thing.
Right.
And, you know, we've heard it here at the station that, you know, we're this and we're that. And I'm sure your newspaper gets a lot of that, mm-hmm, this or that about. But I think that's a wonderful sign of success for the film if people are actually coming out of it, you know, arguing with it or talking about it or, you know, putting their own ideas out there.
And another thing about it was that I have friends who are staunchly Republican. I have friends who are very liberal. And they all come to that same conclusion. It's not something, I guess, that hits on one side or the other. I think everybody realizes something needs to change, and everybody wants to contribute.
Well, you've got about, let's see, you've got about six or seven people in the character. I think it's six in the film. And how did you come about choosing those? We're going to play audio, so you won't actually see them. So we'll try to tell you who you're going to hear from. But the voices are all good, and they all represent different mm-hmm. ideas and stuff.
And that's exactly what I was going for. And truth be told, I would have, when I started out, I wanted to have at least double the number that we ended up with. But I wanted to hit from... let me back up just a second. Another reason I wanted to do the film the way I did is from watching a lot of the documentaries that have been come out over the years. And it seems like a lot of them, especially the ones that get broadcast on national television, always show the worst examples of Appalachia. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there are plenty of people out in the rest of the country who think that's all Appalachia is. And I wanted to show that, you know, here are some bright, intelligent, resourceful, hardworking people out there who are trying, who have been on the front lines of the war on poverty their entire lives, and they're trying to do something about it. And I wanted that different side of Appalachia to come out. So, and that's an easy thing to do, I guess. You can look at I wanted to get all different kinds of viewpoints, I guess is the best way to put it. Get people from different backgrounds who had different things to add and different ways of looking at it.
That's great. Yeah, and I think we'll play a little bit from the beginning. And you have, in the beginning, you have Don Fields, who operates a fitness center.
Pro Fitness, multi-sports. They're in Prestonsburg.
Uh-huh. And you can hear some of the activity in the background mm-hmm. there. And then you have John and Jean Rosenberg.
Yes.
Who are
legends.
Lefties, did you say?
I said legends.
Legends, yeah. But John, the longtime leader of Appalachian Research and Defense Fund. And mm-hmm. and the Appalachian Citizens Law Center as well. And Gene, who is one of my favorite people on earth, mm-hmm. who has done all kinds of programs helping non-traditional students get back in school and those kinds of things. You have Mike Vance, who mm-hmm. is the...
Director of Economic Development for the City of Prestonsburg.
For the City of Prestonsburg. Tom
Majacek.
Majacek, who is a professor at Big Sandy Community and Technical College mm-hmm. in Prestonsburg.
Right.
I used to know it as PCC. But
right.
It's not that anymore, is it? Jonathan Gay, who's at Moorhead.
Yes, he's the director of the Innovation and Commercialization Center there at
right.
MSU.
Right. And John Trusty.
Right. Who used to be over at the Artisan Center over in Hindman, but uh-huh. he's left that position since.
And an artist and a psychologist, mm-hmm. it says. So, yeah, they are an interesting and diverse group, I mm-hmm. think. So we'll just hear a few opening comments.
Well, to me, and I think the future of this area, obviously, is not going to be coal mining any longer. And I think we've got to focus more on tourism and ecotourism. Adventure tourism, things of that nature, because we have all of the everything that is necessary in place here.
I think that it comes down to really three areas. The first is education, the second is healthcare, and the third is environment.
We need to find ways, and there's a grant I looked at a while ago that I think I'm going to work on. That will encourage economic development on that level for the small business, maybe a revolving loan fund or something like that. In the grant, I saw $10,000 to $20,000 of revolving money that we could incubate here, maybe.
Right.
And I think I've got to look at it closer, but I think that we got to do stuff like that, Ralph. I really don't believe that we can wait here on coal to make its big comeback again. It might, and if it does, that'd be really good. But if it don't, we need to have some things that are in place that allow our folks to have decent jobs and the opportunity to shop local and that kind of stuff.
You know, a lot of times there is the sense that we're not going to get out of this unless somebody comes in and helps us out of it. I don't believe that's true. I believe we have to find a way out of this economic situation, and that we can do that, and that we have to think outside the box.
But I think, no, we're not doing enough regionally. No, we're not doing enough to foster entrepreneurship. We've got the programs there, I believe, but what we don't have is the institutional support, sort of the soft support, to encourage people to think about entrepreneurship.
We live in the most beautiful, diverse, deciduous forest on the planet. And how in the world our educational system does not put a seed in our young people's mind how fortunate and blessed we are to live here, and that we need to protect, preserve, and love our area. It's not to be exploited. It's not to be a place where big business, big corporations, or should I say robber barons, come in and exploit what we have here.
It seems there's no shortage.
So there you just heard. We'll go backwards this time.
Okay.
That was John Trustee, who's the artist and the psychologist.
Right.
And of Floyd County.
Yes.
Is he? And yes. Before that, we heard Jonathan Gay, who's up in Moorhead and in charge of the Innovation Institute,
right.
I guess. Tom Majace. I just am not going to be able to say that.
Majasic.
There you go. That's pretty easy, really. And what's he a professor of?
History.
History.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he has a lot of good comments about the history of the region throughout the film.
Yes.
Really does.
Valuable resource. I was glad to get him. So.
Yeah. And then Mike Vance was before that, who's the economic development director for Prestonsburg.
Correct.
Which is, you all are fortunate to have an economic development director. That's great. And John and Jean Rosenberg. And we started with Don Fields in his business there. So it's quite a great array of folks there, mostly in the Floyd County area.
Yeah, I didn't get out as much as I had hoped.
And now part of this, and then the only one we, Lee Mueller is also in the film.
Right.
And we didn't get a clip of Lee there. You also, tell us a little bit about doing this as part of a degree program.
Oh, yes. I was working on my new media journalism master's degree through Full Sail University at the time. And as part of our thesis, we had to come up with this capstone project. And I thought, well, if there's one thing I know it's a little bit about, it's Appalachia. And if there's one thing I want to do is try to do something for it. I guess Appalachia. So it was really easy, and then at the same time, I watched that one film, The Nature of Existence, it's kind of a similar setup. The guy talks to all sorts of different people about what the meaning of life is, I thought, well, why not do something similar except talk about economic development in Appalachia? So.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm queuing up another sequence here also. You also cover, what are the different, you have, after the introduction, you cover some different areas that you thought, or your folks in the film thought could be places that we could develop our economy?
Right. Well, the entire film, I kind of take a shotgun approach. I hope it serves as sort of a little introductory primer to some of the issues facing Appalachia, and I think we start off just stepping back at what's happened in the past, and that's where Lee comes in, because he actually covered LBJ's visit to Inez, and he lives in, Tomahawk, just outside of Inez there, and he's very passionate about his community, and also Mike Vance there, who was at Wheelwright when the coal industry started to go downhill in that area. So they've kind of seen that pattern play out in the past. And, with the questions surrounding the coal industry now, is that past our future, What do we need to do to not repeat some of the same mistakes and wind up with old ghost town coal camps, more or less?
And I know I failed to introduce the first clip a little bit because you started the film talking about the war on poverty,
right?
And you showed some of the footage of LBJ Johnson visiting in Inez in Martin County. I don't know if it's actually Inez, it's a little bit outside,
right?
To Tom Fletcher's home, right? And then you show a shot of the home today, which is not vastly improved.
No, I think it's a different set of folks living there now, but that's
But and what you know, sort of what collectively do the folks in the film, you know, what is we're right now on the 50th anniversary of the war on poverty, and what is their take? You know, was it a waste? Is it, you know, what? Where are we at? How do we go from there?
I think. I guess if you were to throw them all into a bag and come up with a collective statement out of all of it, it is that, yes, there have been some improvements. Highways, undoubtedly better today than what they were. But there's also been some missed opportunities and some cul-de-sacs along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think they... all would say that education and entrepreneurship, I guess, are two key areas that haven't been fully exploited for their potential.
Right. Yeah, it seemed like, and that was sort of how you started the film. It's like the war on poverty did a lot for the region, but we still got a ways to go. And obviously, we still have a lot of poverty in places, too.
Right. And part of... the project, it was, you know, I spent several months doing a lot of the research on it and did an online poll, I guess, at one point.
Really?
Asking people just their opinions of the war on poverty. It's not a scientific poll. There weren't a great number of responses, but it was kind of interesting that they all did seem to take a pattern. And overwhelmingly, people said the war on poverty is a complete failure. Some of that might be you're online and you speak a little more with hyperbole, but and they also said that there has not been enough focus on economic diversification. Those were like in the high 80s. I don't think these people who were interviewed in the film feel quite as strongly, maybe, that it was a complete failure. But I think they all believe that the economic diversification has been
not happened. Yeah,
not very diverse.
And maybe the people responding to the poll, you could have the same answer to that question, sort of coming from a different place. In that, I mean, it is a failure in that it didn't eliminate poverty.
Right.
But you know, some of the people in your film, and I personally would think it did a lot of good, but it didn't. Didn't eliminate it. And then other people might think it's just a waste of money altogether and we shouldn't do things like that.
If you look at ARC, Appalachian Regional Commission's own statistics, they talk about how in Appalachia the poverty rate is almost identical to the national poverty rate. But then that's because they define Appalachia as stretching from New York to Alabama. They have different subregions of Appalachia. Central Appalachia, which includes eastern Kentucky and portions of West Virginia, Virginia, Tennessee, the needle has not moved very much since the 60s. It has improved.
Right.
But nowhere near to the degree it has in Alabama or New York or Pennsylvania and those other places.
And that was sort of the question of your film.
You know,
what do we do to change that by the year 2050?
And that's what I asked each one of these people. I said, I want them to go on a visioning exercise with me and ask them, I want you to look ahead to the year 2050, and I want you to imagine a healthy, vibrant, prosperous Appalachia. Tell me, what does that look like, and how do we get there? And that's how the conversation would begin. sometimes they were thrown for a loop by that.
Well, you got some good answers out of them, I think. You know, which I think shows what you just said a while ago, that has anybody asked before? You know, that maybe people here have a whole lot of ideas and suggestions.
Yeah. And I say that I still have hope that the SOAR initiative that is going on now, that will help resolve some of that. I'm not sure that all of the voices are being heard yet.
Yeah.
Or at least some voices are given more weight than others.
Right. Some of the same voices.
Mm-hmm.
That some people might say have got us a bit to where we are.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think if it is going to succeed, it definitely needs lots and lots of people to participate. And it's not, I went to a meeting last week and it was Thursday and Friday. Well, not everybody can get off from work, you know, and the meeting in Pikeville was on a Monday, I think. So all your working people were kind of, they had other opportunities to
And I went to the SOAR conference and stayed the entire day, and I was hopeful leaving the conference, and I'll hold on to that hope for a little while longer and wait and see what happens. But I do think there needs to be more input.
Yeah. Well, let's play. We've got a section queued up here, I think, about some thoughts about tourism and then moving into health.
I see Prestonsburg at a point about where Wheel Route was when I was growing up there. I think it's a nice, wonderful community. You got a community spirit here, obviously. You got people that want to keep this stuff going.
But you can't roll the clock back. Instead, you've got to look at new opportunities and new ways to bring in this generation's business. And that's what entrepreneurship is about. It's about seeing that new market opportunity and grasping for it and actually succeeding in you know, fixing your grip on it. I think that's what we've got to do.
But this economy, as I see it, has absolutely turned around to, it's very service oriented. I think even if coal makes much of a comeback, that number of jobs is not going to be what they once were.
Right.
The pay will be good, of course, but I think, I see some of the signs that that our community could decline because of the lack of really good jobs.
We need to stand up and look in a different direction. Look in the direction of self-sufficiency. Let's recreate Eastern Kentucky as a beacon of hope, a beacon of people who took a hold of the bull and turned it in the way of a place that our children want to remain in, that I'm proud to be from Eastern Kentucky. Let's get rid of these stereotypes of lazy hillbillies who sit around and just wait on their entitlement check.
In discussing economic development with Appalachian residents, several common themes quickly emerge. One of the most prevalent is a belief that growth requires support for small business and entrepreneurship.
We've got to have a new economic development paradigm. The chasing smokestacks has worked, I guess, to a certain extent in years gone by, but it's certainly not working anymore.
Where have we chased smokestacks here?
Hmm?
Where have we chased smokestacks here other than in Louisa? What are we chasing after? I mean, Paul, a number of these counties have built these
industrial
parks, hoping to find some folks. You know, I think we've cleared too many mountains expecting something to be on them. And a few, like Stonecrest, have developed very few Stonecrests in Eastern Kentucky.
It's been mostly focused on smokestacks. That's where the energy is. Now, I don't know if that necessarily means, if that translates into no support or a lack of support for entrepreneurs. But it certainly means that our efforts are divided and I don't think we're all playing from the same page. If we were playing on the same page, we'd be able to reach these folks at a deeper level, I guess.
My thinking for Prestonsburg, anyway, is that success looks like the signs that we see coming into town, a good place to live, work, and raise your children, play. And that if we can determine that is going on, and I think it is somewhat right now. We got some, you know, people interested in the community, then that would be our success. It's not moving from, you know, 4,000 people to 8,000 people, because I don't know that we could handle that kind of growth. Right. And it's not having, you know, some huge business come in and build a big factory. It's having a community where people enjoy calling it home, proud of our parks and proud of the things that we have to do in town, and seeing that they can be a responsible citizen in this community by doing some of these things that need to be done for, you know, by the residents. For example, people who would fully support the farmers market that's going to go on here. I really want to encourage, we've encouraged that already, I want to encourage it more. I think a good farmer's market gives you a great identity.
The political system is set up that way. You know, it's if you're mayor of Paintsville, you know, you want to get a company to come in. You know, it's much bigger opportunity to do that. But I think that at the same time, we have to be realistic. And you're just not going to get very many factories to come in.
But, you know, with coal, and with just the overall economic issues, we're going to have to find ways to move it ahead, and we're probably not going to bring in a Toyota or a Saturn plant or anything like that. We're probably going to have to do it by encouraging, first of all, the businesses we have to stay and help it make it easier for them, and then to attract smaller but, you know, job-oriented businesses outside the service industry.
I think another thing that we will see if we're successful is the proliferation of small businesses. We'll see a much greater emphasis on small, innovative firms, and whether that's similar to the Red River Zip Line up in Wolf County, or the small restaurants that you see that are starting to pop up in the area here. Barbecue restaurant in a hazard. I think that in order to be successful, if you come back in 2050 and you see a successful community, it will be one that's used tourism heavily, that's kind of focused on our identity as much as possible. It's used entrepreneurship to make those businesses not only innovative, first they have to be innovative, and then they have to be successful.
But I don't know that we've encouraged enough of it. I think we don't have as much news about a good place to do business as we do other things.
Tourism is another topic that comes up frequently when discussing Appalachian development, but there seems to be less agreement over how much of an impact it can have.
Roll out the red carpet to people who want to come here because of the natural beauty, because of the ruggedness. So I think we do have to be true to ourselves. We can't just become like a Richard Florida type community. We need to retain our, we're going to retain our rural focus. And so we might as well make it a virtue and not a vice.
I think we've made some progress. However, the progress that I've seen is not in the area of ecotourism or adventure tourism. It's been more so based on country music. And that's about it. And which is great, that's a good thing. And we need to keep going with that. But we have so much more to offer. We have so many other facilities here that aren't being utilized. That would bring more people into the area, that would change the look of the area. I think it would change the attitudes of the people that live in this area.
Tourism and economic development are kind of side by side. Tourism can help create economic development if it's positive. I think tourism is pretty important. It's not going to recruit, like I said, the big businesses, and neither are we. But it's going to reaffirm the fact that it's a good place to live. Right. A good place to live.
When I talk to other people and they ask me where I'm from, say I'm at a bike race in South Carolina, and I tell them where I came from to race my bike, they say, "Oh, you know, I'd really like to see that part of the country. I bet it's beautiful there." I say, "Yes, it certainly is." And I invite them. And I've actually brought some people in just to ride their bicycle or the kayak.
I think another thing that we have to do is we have to look at ourselves differently. We are not going to be a Pigeon Forge or a Gatlinburg. We just don't have that area is, the geography is more conducive to that. It's a little more open. Even though you get into the mountains, it's, the access is much better. You're closer to, your population is a little better educated, and you can pull from Knoxville, you can pull from a lot of places in East Tennessee, and we're just not going to be a Gatlinburg. We have to think differently. And I think that's part of the problem, is we look for models and we look for big solutions, whether it's an interstate, the coal industry, a tourism industry. I think we need a little more rigorous focus on what we are, and I don't think we've done that well.
You know, let's stand proud and show the world, like Coal Quit Georgia, that each of our communities can grasp a concept, and we, in this beautiful environment we live in, can become a tourist mecca.
We have resources here that are not being used. For instance, Dewey Lake. It's basically used for fishing, or skis, or jet skis. There's a small number of people, myself included, who use it for kayaking, and paddleboarding, and mountain biking, and hiking, and trail running. But there aren't enough of us doing those things. And there are no official trails. As a matter of fact, we're trespassing when we do these things. And I'd like to see that change.
Tourism will bring people in and give them a taste of what you got. And you never know which person in that group might want to come back and just live here.
For instance, the new rail trail, the Dawkins Rail Line, Dawkins Rail Trail, I think they're going to call it. I think that will change the face of Eastern Kentucky. When it's finally up and running and the community has accepted it, they're going to see that people can use this as a form of transportation, a form of exercise, a form of recreation, safe for themselves and for their children. And I think that will draw so many people to the area, and that will change the attitudes and educate the people that are in the area to the possibilities. And that's just one example.
I always think of a couple of things. I think of the old Andy Griffith story where the guy reads about Mayberry, and he heard it from one of his war buddies, and he reads about Mayberry, he subscribes to the Mayberry paper. Mm-hmm. And so he reads it for a couple of years, and he says, "I want to live there." And he goes into Mayberry and starts buying some property and stuff like that. People get real paranoid about him. And they're ready to run him out of town until he finally tells them. Even Andy didn't know until when he told Andy, he's got the message. And another example, I was at Buckhorn. Buckhorn's a lot smaller, little old village, you know. When I was working for the Children's Center, though, when we had a guy whom we interviewed for a chief financial officer, and we hired him, and he came back there and interviewed because he enjoyed staying at Buckhorn State Park, and he just really liked the area.
Yeah.
So if your area is attractive to people, it can bring business back in. Despite
progress. Yeah, so that was another clip from Appalachia 2050 by Ralph Davis, who's here with us today on Mountain Talk. And Again, we heard that was Mike Vance, the last person speaking, who is the Prestonsburg community development person. We heard from Don Fields, the owner of the fitness center. John Trustee was in there, and Jonathan Gay from Moorhead. We heard about everybody, John and Gene Rosenberg, in those clips. And that was kind of dealing with tourism and thoughts about the region. And then there's another section on health and on mining and quite a few. You just covered everything just about.
Just scattershot.
No, but it's well put together. So
right.
And you got contrasting points of view, which I think is good. So have you had the opportunity to show this in Rotary Club or schools or much around the region yet?
Not as much as, and that's mostly my schedule and inability to commit to things. We did show it in Louisville a while back.
I heard you had quite a screening.
Wow. It really humbled me. That's
But tell us about that, because I think part of our, one of our issues in Eastern Kentucky is the perceptions about East Kentucky are not just in New York or whatever, but people in Louisville also have a lot of misperceptions and stereotypes about Eastern Kentucky.
Oh, I think that's true. And again, I hope that this might help cure some of that. They can see some intelligent, thoughtful discussion about some of these issues coming from people who live here. But it in Louisville, the crowd was very receptive, and they were very, very interested in seeing Eastern Kentucky not just survive, I guess, but thrive. And I don't think when you look at our political leaders across the state, that's always the case. I don't think, they want to protect their own territory. But I think once you get down to just your ordinary citizen, I think we have to view ourselves as a whole. And I think that was evident that night.
We are a state.
Right.
We're supposed to be a state.
Commonwealth.
Yeah. Well, and you were talking about the poll that poll you took. Did you do that in the paper?
No, that was just online.
Okay. But tell us a little bit, how have you, as an editor of a county paper, sort of dealt with these issues? I mean, you can't make people too mad that they won't buy your paper, right? Do you feel like you have kind of a line you walk with? What is your role as an editor and journalist there?
Interesting. I guess I want to try to reflect the community as accurately as I can, as far as the viewpoints and as far as just what's happening. And that's, I've always given, the opposing view a lot of leeway, I guess. You see some newspapers where they have a position and their coverage is geared toward that position. You see that especially on television. But I've always tried to give everybody their voice, interviewed a Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard one time. It's kind of a scary thing.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Thing, but, I guess this movie is just kind of an outgrowth of that, is that I want everybody to have a voice. I want everybody to have their moment to express their voice.
And we were talking about, the SOAR meeting that happened, and it's kind of a culmination of, I think, of, voices being raised that we need to do something. And I wonder if you've seen sort of public opinion or public perceptions changing, in Floyd County and Perry County in response to the film.
In response to, I don't know so much in response to the film. I think perceptions are changing. It seems like when we talk economic development in Eastern Kentucky, it always gets back to coal. And it's such a dichotomy. It's such a, they're two rigid viewpoints basically that do not budge. And I think that's starting to change. I mean, I think people are scared by what they see with the layoffs, with the mine closures. And they're thinking, like Mike Vance said, you know, even if coal comes back, great, we can use that money, but we better get some other things in place too, you know. It's, and I think there's a lot more interest in that now. And I think that's probably what spurred Governor Beshear and Representative Rogers to do this whole thing,
right,
the SOAR initiative.
Right. And they felt they could do it and
right.
not get run out of town
right.
completely either.
Right.
People were calling for it.
And that's been a problem. It's been a, well, if we do this, is that going to hurt coal?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can, well, I don't think we can hurt coal more than it's hurting already. And I certainly don't think that other areas of prosperity, shall we say, are going to hurt coal. I mean, if
right.
we can make a stronger community, that can only improve.
Right.
All of us.
And maybe that's been kind of the reason we didn't diversify, or we've not done the diversity because of that, you know, it will hurt coal.
Right.
Then we find ourselves undiversified.
Right. Right. And, well, and then, you know, if that's where everybody goes when they get out of high school or whatever and gets a job and has a good living until the layoffs, you know, that's.
Yeah. Hard.
You can't really convince people
right,
to do otherwise.
Right. So one of the things we've hardly touched on is the effort that is going on in Floyd County with the farmers market.
Right.
And you are very involved. One of your, you must have like 14 jobs, Ralph. And one of your jobs, I understand, is sort of managing this farmers market. Could you
right.
tell us a little bit about it and its growth and its potential there?
That. And I think it's very relevant to the film because I think that is where we need to go. I think we need to think small, not large. We don't need to recruit another Toyota. We do not need to build another Gatlinburg. We need to give everyday, ordinary people a way to make a living. And we're doing that at the farmers market. You know, we're getting ready to start our fifth season, May 17th.
Great.
And
it was pretty incy-wincy when it started.
It was. We had two farmers, and they made $600 the first year, the entire year, and they were pleased. The year before, I started with them last year kind of as a promotions manager. And the year before, they had done $23,000. That was their third year. Last year, we doubled that, more than doubled that. And we're hopeful that keeps going up going into this season. I think it will. I think people are starting to see that there's success to be had there. Last year, we had 15 producers total. The market, they sold $48,000 worth of
wow.
food or crafts or whatever at the market last year. But only six or seven of those were there every week. Some of these guys
right.
are people who have one or two or three different crops, and they come in for 3 or 4 weeks while that's in season and
uh-huh.
sell it, and then they're gone. But these people who were there, they made a fairly substantial wage for one day a week at the farmer's market.
Right.
And we're seeing more people come in now, and we're seeing like through the Growing Warriors program, which reaches out to veterans. We're seeing more interest from that segment because we have a lot of veterans coming back from overseas, and there's just not jobs here for them.
And is that's a program you're doing in Floyd County, and
no,
it's larger than that
well,
as well?
That's Mike Lewis over. He's over in Berea, in the Berea area.
Uh-huh.
And he's worked closely with Floyd County, I guess. He's liked what he's seen happening in Floyd County. I understand Whitesburg has a pretty remarkable farmers market as well. And
well, we're getting started.
Right.
We're early on. This is we've just got to Perry County food expert come in the studio here.
but that's something that, you know, we've forgotten about. I mean, a lot of people still have the garden in their backyard. Well, we've forgotten that a lot of people made their living, or at least made their food that they ate right on their home farm. And I think, how is that not attractive to anybody who's looking for somewhere to go? To take your land and your two hands and create a living out of that.
Yeah. As John Trusty says a number of times in your film about being, we used to be so self-sufficient, and why can't we go get closer to that nowadays?
And it was really the health aspect, too, that got me interested in the farmer's market. If you look at all the statistics there about Eastern Kentucky, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, sedentary living, it's horrible. We have the highest rates, or among the highest rates, of all of those things nationwide. And I've always felt nutrition is a very important part of that. And then the farmer's market, that's how I first got involved. And then I started seeing the economic potential of it as well. And the community potential.
Tell us a little bit about what's coming up there.
With farmer's market, we like to think, I had this idea sitting in a class a while back, or a meeting a while back, about the farmer's market, is that, why do we call it a market? Why not call it a festival? The farmer's festival. It's a year-long celebration, and we try to schedule events every week, something new to see. Part of that is to get people to come, but another part of it is that it's bringing the community together in a way that you don't quite get going to a big supermarket and walking through the aisles with your buggy and tossing things in and going to the self-checkout and getting out without speaking to a single person. You come to the farmer's market and you talk to the people who grew your food, and they can tell you how to cook it if you're not familiar with it. You see friends and neighbors, and there might be music playing. We have some great musicians who come and play for us a lot of times. And you just hang out and listen to that a while and see your friends and see your neighbors and you talk with them. And it's a wonderful experience, and for 5 hours every Saturday.
That's great. So, yeah, and there's one in Perry County, and there's one starting here in Letcher County, and there are some other places. Well, we're almost out of time, but let's just play, I think I have it queued up, just a little bit of the very end of Appalachia 2050, because there are really some nice things said, I think, summing it up.
Regardless of the path taken to get there, those interviewed all said that a vibrant, thriving future in Appalachia will only be possible through greater regional cooperation.
We have a long way to go in terms of developing a view that encourages people to participate with each other. We have a very strong and proud tradition of being independent and making it on our own. But in fact, many of these positive things come about when people come together.
I do think this regional cooperative stuff has got to happen. I don't think we can look at just what helps Prestonsburg, but what helps the communities around Prestonsburg as well. It may be that that business goes to Bible or Paisville, but our folks can work there.
I see the biggest need is for us to come together as Eastern Kentuckians, and I think people identify more with that. Eastern Kentucky is almost an ethnicity. You know, it really is. People have such a strong identity with the area, but they still cling to those county boundaries and those county ways of doing business. We've got to get beyond that.
Right. Gee, we got to tear those walls down. You got to not have a barrier between Prestonsburg and Floyd County, or Prestonsburg and Martin, Prestonsburg and Wheelwright.
But all of these nonprofit organizations who want to improve life in Eastern Kentucky need to come together. We need to have a forum. We need to have a conference where the directors of the Arts Center in Prestonsburg, or the
the Osborne family in Hyden who have the music school, the Pikeville Friends of Art. We should all come together. Let's not just try to develop this in our little community, but let's look at Eastern Kentucky as a family. We're all in this together.
The more people you bring together to think about other solutions, because they're not in my head, maybe not in yours, for if everybody had a quick fix, we would have already been there. But I think, you know, to me, if we can use the Science Center, if we can keep kids engaged and do better and always try to be a step ahead with the community colleges and giving children, kids an education, that's number one. And number two is trying to create a healthier population. And every little bit helps, whether it's your farmer's market or education classes or the Relay for Life or whatever people do. Is going to be helpful.
You know, Eastern Kentucky and Appalachia is a homogeneous culture. You know, we have something very unique. You know, we shouldn't try to compete with each other.
And this is if there was ever a place where family and caring for yours is a part of the cultural fabric, it's here. Don't have the urban isolation of anonymity.
Ends Mountain Talk for today, and we're so pleased to have Ralph Davis from Floyd County, Ralph B. Davis, not to be confused with other Ralph Davises.
Yeah, there's a Ralph Davis Reptiles on Google.
Yeah. But we're so pleased. We've heard about your movie and so glad that we could have you and have some clips from it. And we've got a couple DVDs we can offer as premiums. And, okay. And we thank you for coming. And what is the first day?
May 17th. And that's 3 days before the election. So we're inviting all the candidates in Floyd County to come out for an old-fashioned stump speaking. We'll actually have a small stump for them to stand on to do this.
Well, that sounds like great fun. Yeah. Appalachia 2050 is online, available at YouTube.
Well, yeah, you can just search for it on YouTube and find it. You can find it pretty easy on my website, ralphbdavis.com.
Right. So, and Ralph and the film are available to show to your group, depending on his schedule.
Right.
And getting the newspapers out and all that kind of thing. But thank you so much. And we'll have to come up with an excuse to get you back on Mountain Talk.
Sure thing.